Good morning, everyone. So glad to be able to share with you God's Word again. It was like many evenings. Mom and Dad were at home, and Jimmy was playing after dinner. Mom and Dad were busy with housework and did not notice the time. It was the full moon, and some of the soothing white moonlight passed through the windows. It was beautiful. It was a very peaceful night. The mom glanced at the clock. "Jimmy, it's time to go to bed. Go up now." Unlike usual, Jimmy went upstairs right away to his room. An hour or so later, his mother came up to check if all was well. But the mother was surprised to see that her son was staring quietly out of his window at the beautiful view under the moonlight. "What are you doing, Jimmy? You were supposed to be asleep already 1 hour ago." "I'm looking at the moon, Mommy." "Well, it's time to go to bed now." Jimmy went to bed reluctantly and said, "Mommy, you know one day I'm going to walk on the moon." Later, when Jimmy grew up, he survived a near-fatal motorbike crash, which broke almost every bone in his body, but he survived that. And 30 years after that night, James Irwin stepped on the moon's surface, just one of the 12 representatives of the human race to have done so. It was all because of a dream that was planted in his heart that night. This story shows us the power of dreams in our lives. By dreams, I meant those passionate plans that you have for your life. We all have dreams or plans for our lives, and they can powerfully influence what will come out of our lives. Some plans produce a life wasted, as Elder New shared with us last time. While other plans can produce a life of eternal blessing for us and all the people around us. What type of dreams or plans that you have for your life? How can we have plans that will actually produce a life of blessings, not only for this life, but also eternal life, not only for us, but also for people around us? How can we have such plans, dreams, for our life? I see that we must understand God's plan for us, not our own plans. Because God knows us, and God knows the future, and He knows everything. And He is the one who can make your dream, your plan, come true. We're starting a new series on dreams come true, based on the life of Joseph. Do you know what's the name of Joseph, the nickname? Some people call him the King of Dreams. There's actually a cartoon that was produced based on this story. It's called The King of Dreams. And I actually watched that in the preparation of this message. And in the middle of that, at certain scenes of the story, I was in tears. It is a very touching story, what God did in Joseph's life. God revealed His plan for Joseph's life through dreams while he was asleep. And God also gave Joseph the ability to interpret other people's dreams that God put in their dreams while they were asleep. He understood even God's plan for those people. He was able to interpret other people's dreams. Today, in Dreams Come True Part 1, we will analyze the nature of God's plan for us, or God's dream for us, so that we can adjust our plans accordingly. If our plans are in conflict of God's plan, we better adjust it. Or otherwise, we might live a life that is wasted instead of a life that will produce eternal blessings for us and other people around us. We will see two things about the nature of God's plan for us. First, God's plans for us often will appear not logical, not profitable, or not practical. Please open your Bible to Genesis chapter 37. We'll look at verses 5 to 11 first. Let me read it. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaf gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, and his father kept the matter in mind. See, God revealed his plan for Joseph and his family through two dreams when Joseph was asleep. In the Old Testament, God often revealed his plans to people through dreams while people were asleep. The fulfillment of such dreams proved that they were from God, as in Joseph's dream, as we read earlier, passages that we'll also look at show that the dreams that God gave Joseph were fulfilled by God himself. But to Joseph's 10 elder brothers and father, God's plan for Joseph and his family revealed in the dream appears to be not logical, not profitable, not practical at first sight. It was revealed that Joseph would be their leader, the leader of his 10 elder brothers and even his parents. At that time, Joseph was only 17 years old, according to verse 2. But the tradition was that the oldest son in the family would be the leader, not the one who was the youngest at that time. So that's why they thought Joseph's dream was not logical, not practical, and not profitable. And even Joseph's father rebuked him, and that caused his brothers to hate him, to be jealous of him, thinking that maybe he was just saying it out of some selfish desire. Can you imagine that one day you woke up and had a dream and told your mom and dad and said, "Mom, Dad, and my brothers, I had a dream and last night and in the dream you all bowed down to me." And what would your parents react to that? "Son, do you actually want to rule over us? Do you actually think that we will bow down to you? Only in your dream." Probably they would not believe that either. See, it was hard for Joseph's father and elder brothers to believe in the dream that God gave Joseph, the plan that God gave Joseph and his family. Plans from God often will appear not logical, not profitable, and not practical in our worldly perspective. It might often bring difficulty and suffering, as you would see in Joseph's later life. He suffered greatly in order to fulfill the dream that God gave him, in order to fulfill the plan that God had for him and his family. But that's the way, the best way to live our life. As we just mentioned, God knows us, and He knows what is the best for us. Hey, He knows the future. He knows everything. That's why following God's plan, although it might appear to cause difficulty and suffering, that is always the best for us. Since it's so illogical, not profitable, and not practical, it takes faith. It takes faith for us to live out God's plan for us. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Do you have faith in God to be willing to live out God's plans for your life? Do you believe that He exists? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that by believing in Him, you can have eternal life? And He has a wonderful plan for you, but those plans often might seem illogical, not profitable, and not practical at first sight. If you are sure that's God's plan for you, are you willing to walk according to God's plan for you? Now it comes to another question. We know that God loves us. He has the best plan for us, but that often will appear not logical, not profitable, and not practical, and it takes faith for us to live out God's plan for us. Then how can we be sure? The dream that you have, the plan that you have in your heart, is God's plan for you. In our life, we have many decisions to make. Either choosing which college to go to, what job offer to take, which company to work at, which man or woman to marry to, what house to buy, how many kids we should have, and what we should do when we retire, when we should retire. Everything involves decision. But in making the decisions, how can we be sure that we are in God's plan for us, not our own selfish plans for ourselves that will produce a life wasted? I found out that there are five things that God has given us to help us to walk our life according to His plan. I see that, first of all, God's words in the Bible. God's plan for our life cannot be in conflict with what God says in the Bible. God revealed His plans to Joseph through a dream, and then a second dream. As in the Old Testament, many of the people also received dreams from God, and God revealed His plans for them. But today, God might still use dreams to reveal His plans for your life, but God's word in the Bible will affirm whether that dream that you have is from God or not. For example, you say God wants you to be a medical doctor in the future, for example. And as a result, you try so hard to be a medical doctor, you study really hard, and then there was the opportunity for you to enter into a medical school. But you could not fulfill the requirements of the school. You wanted to buff up your resume. You want to lie about it. Should you do that, even though that will get you into medical school? your dream career in the future. But the Bible says that you should not lie. Although you have the desire to want to be who you want to be, live out your own dream, but if it's in conflict with God's word for you, no, that is not God's plan for you. Second, I see that God revealed to us through the Holy Spirit when we pray to Him, either silently or when we pray out, now, verbally. It's not what we say to God. Sometimes silently praying to God, meditating, listening to God's voice through prayers, God will often reveal His plans to us through that. Again, that cannot be in conflict with God's word in the Bible. And thirdly, I see that in our life, maybe we are still at a stage we are not very knowledgeable about the Bible, but there are people in our lives who are godly, who fear God, and they know the Bible very well, and they have experienced God according to God's word. These are the people we can seek counsel from. These are wise, godly counsel. People in our lives, like your Sunday school teachers, maybe your parents, ministers in the church or pastors in the church, from the Bible, they can show you whether the dream or the plan that you have is from God or from you, out of your selfish desire. And fourthly, I see that God also uses what is happening in our lives to show us whether it's God's will for us to do this or to do that. Environment, meaning, for example, some people want to be a missionary, but they are old parents to take care of. Nobody else is taking care of his parents. Can he just leave his parents and let his parents die there and then just go to do God's word? I see that the Bible also says that we should honor our parents. So if even that's something that God wants you to do, and yet there's another important plan that God has for you immediately, I believe you should first take care of your parents before you go to become a missionary. Because I do know a sister who wanted to be a missionary in mainland China. She's Caucasian, but she learned to speak Chinese very well. But she told me that her parents, one has Alzheimer's disease, another has Parkinson's disease, and she needs to take care of them. As a result, she said that I can wait until I have fulfilled my obligations as a daughter to my parents, and then trust that God will still need you to do what He has planned for you. And fifth, the passion, the burdens that God puts in your heart that keeps coming back becomes stronger and stronger, and that is consistent with what God says in the Bible. That might be another means that God uses to tell you about His plan for you. But again, that cannot be in conflict with God's word. You see, ultimately, it comes back to God's word in the Bible. But God does use also prayers, wise counsel, what's happening in your life, and also the passions and the burdens that God has given you. So when you are seeking God's guidance in your life, in making those tough decisions, do you use those five things that God used to lead us to walk our life according to His plan for us, not our own selfish desires? Now we know that the nature of God's dream is that it's often not logical, it's often not profitable and not practical in the worldly eyes, and we know how to seek God's plans for us and confirm God's plans for us when we are making decisions in our lives. Then another question is, Why does God give dreams, passions, or plans to people? What's the purpose? We know that what kind of dreams, plans that God would give us, and how God would give us such plans or dreams, then why? Why God would give us different dreams, different plans in our hearts? Nature of God's plan, too, to serve and to save the needy, not for our own selfish desires. Joseph's elder brothers thought that they deserved to be leaders more than Joseph by their age, by their experience, and by their position in the family. They deserved to be leaders. And they were hungry for power. They assumed that leadership is equivalent to having power to order people around. Their preoccupation with power blinded them from seeing the purpose of God making Joseph the leader. Their preoccupation with power caused them to hate Joseph to the point of wanting to kill him, but ended up selling Joseph as a slave to Egypt. When we look at the whole picture, you'll see that God did not make Joseph a leader to force his brothers to bow down to him, to control them, to overpower them, to lord over them, but God chose Joseph to be his brothers' leaders in order to help them, to serve them, to save them when they were in a difficult situation. Without his help, his brothers would have died from a famine, and even his whole family would have died if Joseph did not live out God's plan for him and the family. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 42, verse 6. Now we will see Joseph's dream being fulfilled. Genesis chapter 42. Verse 6, now Joseph was governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. See, God made Joseph the leader of his brothers in order to serve and to save his brothers. As Genesis chapter 45, verses 3-8 tells us, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? At that time, Joseph had been separated from his father and elder brothers for how many years? He was 17 when he was sold as a slave. And he became the governor of Egypt, the one who was second to power to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, when he was 30. So that's already 13 years. And then there was 7 years, if you have read the Bible, of abundant years, good harvest for the land of Egypt. And Joseph helped to store the food for the 7 years of famine. And here, when Joseph was speaking, it was already entering into the third year of the famine year. So, how many years? 13 plus 7, that's 20, and then 2 years, 22, of course you count the third year of the famine, that's 23. Good. I need to think about that, and you guys are better than me in that. See, 23 years later, that's why Joseph missed his dad, his mom, who loved him so much. That's why he asked, I'm Joseph, is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. They were the ones who almost killed him. They were the ones who sold him as a slave. And now they suddenly realized that this powerful person is the person we almost killed and sold as a slave. They were afraid that Joseph would just use his power to kill them all, to revenge. Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save life that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your life by a great deliverance. God's plan for our lives is always for us to serve and to save those who need Jesus Christ. Not just for our own selfish profit. That's why after we have known God's plans for our lives with those five things that God uses, we should check our motives while we are living out, carrying out God's plan. Let me ask, are we following God's plan out of the desire to receive praise or recognition from others and give orders to people like Joseph's brothers did? Why do you want to live out God's dream? Do you just want to be famous? Do you want people to recognize your gifts? That's why you want to be a leader, even though that's God's plan for you? Do we sometimes feel jealous when someone else receives praise or recognition, but we don't? We also work hard. But why? He receives recognition, but I don't receive the recognition. That is a good test of whether you're doing it for recognition or praise, or you're doing it for God in order to serve people and to save people who need Jesus Christ, even though you are not recognized, even if you are not praised. Do we sometimes feel jealous, as Joseph's brothers did, when someone else, not us, is in the leadership position? Why is he the so-called leader of such a group of people, but not me? I want to be a leader. Do you sometimes have that desire, I want to be a leader? With that motive, that shows you that you don't really understand God's purpose for his plan for you. Let me ask you, what are the motives for you to want to go to a dream university for college education? What is the motive for that? To have a dream car, dream house, dream wife or husband, or dream job, or retire early to travel around the world and that your children will also live a dream life of all the above mentioned. What is your motivation for wanting all those? Selfish desires, or to serve, or to save other people? The difference is very minor. It's a matter of the heart. If your heart is right, God might use that for his plan for your life. After I became a believer of Jesus Christ, God gave me a dream. God gave me a passionate plan. That is to share with people in the whole world about Jesus. That Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. But God gave me the dream to do that full time for the rest of my life. At first sight, it is not logical. It's not profitable. It was not practical from a worldly perspective because I had a very good job. I graduated from a good school. Did I need to restart from scratch in order to live out God's plan for me? That didn't sound profitable. Nobody in their normal mind would want to do this.
But I know it is from God.
Why?
Because God confirmed it through the Bible. That's what God wants me to do, to go make disciples in all nations, the Great Commission. And God kept reminding me about that. That's what I want you to do.
Prayer, wise counsel. I talked to many godly men. They gave me wise counsel about God's plan for my life. God opened doors for me to be equipped in seminary and then served here as the English minister and the English pastor, and gave me many opportunities to go to different parts of the world to share the gospel with people in different countries. Fifth, God continues to give me that passion and that burden in my heart. It burns in my heart when I cannot do that. God also gave me faith to see the value of helping people to trust Christ alone so that they will be saved from eternal punishment in hell to have eternal life in heaven. But this is not just a dream for me, because this is also a dream God has for every believer of Jesus Christ, confirmed by many Bible verses, and the most famous one, what is that? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, and also Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The most important mission that God has given every believer, Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, before his ascension, he gave the most important mission to all believers. And I heard that, and God burned that in my heart, continued to stir my heart. That's why I finally responded. Although there were many uncertainties, it didn't sound a profitable, practical, logical plan for me. I see that our dream from God is one. But there are many ways to participate in the one dream that God has for us. It's that we'll go to all nations to share with people about the love of Jesus Christ and how he can save us from eternal punishment in hell, and how we can overcome sins in our lives after we have believed through the power of the Holy Spirit. But God might want you to participate in this dream as a full-time pastor, minister, or maybe missionary, or a part-time participant of God's plan while you're studying as a student, you're working as a teacher, an engineer, a nurse, a pharmacist, a medical doctor, or even a retiree. You have another time in your hand. What do you do? Fishing all day? The question is, do you want to participate in the dream from God in the special way God has designed for you, not the selfish way you want to have for yourself? If the answer is yes, we will all be greatly blessed by God, and we will be able to greatly bless many people in our lives, even in the whole world. There was a Christian couple who had a successful career, and both of them could afford an early retirement. They bought a beautiful beach house with a beautiful view. Besides eating and sleeping, they spent their pastime collecting shells on the beach. The shells were so beautiful, and it was just so relaxing to hear the waves hitting the beach and then collecting and appreciating the beautiful shells. Do you dream to live a life like that?
Yes.
Yes? Wow, so see, many people do have such dreams. Then the couple died and saw Jesus face to face. Jesus asked them what they did in their life which were valuable in heaven, and the only things that they could present were two bags of shells. Brothers and sisters, when we die and see Jesus face to face, what can you present to Jesus which is valuable in heaven, not on earth? Heaven is our eternal home. Heaven is where we go. Heaven is where we need to give an account to our Lord Jesus Christ.
So let us ask God to give us faith to live out His seemingly illogical, not profitable, not practical dreams for our lives in order to serve and save all those people who need Jesus Christ. And guess what? Those people will be saved because we share the gospel with them. Those are the invaluable things you can present to God. And those will last in eternity. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, you know what is in our hearts. The passionate plans, dreams that we have for our life. We plan this, we plan that. We want to live a good life. We want to live a dream as in that story that couple achieved. But God, let us be able to be wise, to dream bigger than just living a good life in this life. Would you help us to think about what we can present to Christ when we see Him after we have physically died here? God, would you give us faith? And let us not be discouraged, and let us see an obstacle of something that does not seem profitable, practical, logical in the world's eyes, but let us be bold enough to answer God's call for each one of us, either participate in the dream that you have for us, to share the gospel with people in all the nations, full-time or part-time, whatever we do that in order to make Christ known. God, would you make our lives truly, eternally profitable? Please forgive us, because we often have selfish dreams, plans for our own self, even though we know our neighbors, they have not heard who Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did for them, and they might die tomorrow in an accident, and we don't even care. Give us the love that you have for the lost people, as you had for us. That's why now we are called God's people, because someone shared the gospel with us. God, I pray that everyone here will be willing to live out your dream, your plan for our life, in order that your kingdom would grow, and you will be glorified, and we will be rewarded by you. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.